Hello, I'm Niall Kahn, and this is the PPRO Podcast. Every other week, I sit down with James Booth to discuss the latest innovations, investments, and acquisitions that have taken place over the last weeks. All right. Well, James, thanks for joining me once again on the podcast. Great to have you back.
Great to be back, Niall. How is your week going?
Well, it's early Monday morning, and I think we're both sick at the moment. So if we're a little bit lower energy than usual, yeah. This is the reason why.
Exactly. It's the beginning of winter, so I'd rather get sick in the beginning of winter so we can race towards December being a little bit healthier.
That's a very positive attitude.
Always positive. Yeah.
All right. So this week, let's kick off with Google's payment app in India. Google has been making a really aggressive push in India, particularly towards their e-wallets there, which they see could be their main hub in Asia, kind of combating Alipay and WeChat Pay in China. So Google has this payment app at the moment, which will essentially allow you to do everything.
Yeah, I mean, it seems India seems to be the playground for Google. They're always launching new products there, testing out new features. It's definitely the latest battleground amongst most of the fintechs out there. And this seems that this is Google's first take at, let's say, one of their versions of a super app. Pretty cool. I can't wait for them to launch it in Europe or the States or somewhere else so we can get our hands on it. But it looks like a very cool initiative.
Yeah, it's called Google Spot, and it seems to be primarily for Indian merchants. And it's basically a way of getting the merchants a way of creating their own branded checkout experience with Google Pay. And beyond being a branded merchant checkout page, it also serves as a job board. So if you are getting food delivered to you the next day, you could be delivering the food yourself, it seems.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a full stack service. You've got the merchant checkout, you've got marketing within there, you've got obviously gig economy type integrations within there. Yeah, I mean, it looks like there's already quite a few beta users: UrbanClap, GoBibo, MakeMyTrip, Redbus, Eat.fit, and Oven Story are already on board on the early access program, and it seems Google's also introducing JobSpot. So I think there's quite a few players that, and international players, that are jumping on board this marketplace initiative of theirs. So I think it's got significant legs. I mean, I'd love to see this type of product being launched in the Western world. We've only seen it in Southeast Asia, China. Now, obviously, it's hopping into India. And it would be great to see one of these all-in-one marketplace mega apps being launched in Europe. If anything, it'll save so much space on our on our iPhone or Android home screens.
Okay, so the appeal is basically you don't have to have the 20 apps. It's just the one app, and then they have like the mini apps inside of it. Is that right? This is how WeChat Pay works, I believe, right?
Yeah, it's really just the one app to rule them all. I mean, I don't think there would ever be one app, and I wouldn't trust Google to be that app. But at least there's a Western player making that first step to combining all of these services, because I think all of our e-commerce services and apps are so fragmented at the moment. We need something to start bringing them closer together. And if you can have two or three apps that can do everything, in my opinion, that would be great. And even if they were integrated into other services, so even if the app was just a layer and you still had your underlying services underneath, that would solve a lot of the fragmentation of the market and a lot of the hassle of having to download 20, 30 apps.
All right, and let's turn our attention to the East, where PayPal has been making some news in China.
Yeah, so PayPal acquired a 70% stake in the firm that operates under the GoPay brand. So obviously, it's an undisclosed acquisition. So we don't know actually how much they paid to get into the market. But it's interesting that there's another Western player entering the Chinese market. I think the last one that entered was American Express about a year ago almost. So it's good to see more players and actually more kind of friendly competition between the West and the East in this regard.
So PayPal getting to China, PayPal has not really tapped into China at all. PayPal has been interested in seemingly the rest of the world outside of China. But how will this actually change the game in China?
I mean, I don't think it's going to change the game overnight. I don't see them taking up a huge market share. I think it's just directionally, it's very good. China already has a very crowded domestic market, but it is a very domestic market. I mean, there's no foreign players there. And I think the fact that they're slowly opening the doors to one or two non-Chinese financial institutions is a good sign. I mean, it just opens up trade, it opens up different possibilities. And for me, it's just better directionally in that 5-10 years time, it could be a completely different landscape.
So you don't think PayPal and American Express will be the last ones into China?
No. I think there'll be more. I mean, and especially because, I mean, the main reason that they're in there is obviously for cross-border flows. I don't see them winning local market share, especially against Alipay and WeChat Pay and UnionPay. But for cross-border transactions, as cross-border trade increases, there'll be an increasing need for more international payments firms to set up shop in China. And obviously American Express and PayPal are obviously two of the biggest names in international e-commerce. So I would expect as China gets more comfortable with cross-border flows, they would start opening the gates to more players. Now, in saying that, there's a big political swing that can happen. So who knows what will happen in a few years' time. But I just think it's nice that more players are entering that market and we're able to see more. Yeah, we'll see different products and different opportunities pop up in that market.
So consumers using the GoPay brand in China will be allowed to make cross-border e-commerce purchases through PayPal. Now, how will that work from a technical setup, do you think?
GoPay is effectively a PSP within China. Obviously, they've got a wallet, but primarily they're a payment gateway of sorts. So for PayPal, it's really giving all of the local Chinese merchants access to PayPal consumers so that obviously when PayPal wallet holders wish to travel into China, they already have initial means to prepay for hotels, prepay for travel, prepay for retail goods, etc. And they can now use the PayPal wallet to purchase those goods rather than having to use traditional card rails.
All right, well, that's enough with GoPay. Let's check out Mexico now because they have a new payment service that uses both QR codes and NFC.
It's another QR code initiative. I think we started off this QR code trend 3, 4, 5 weeks ago or something like that. We've raised the QR code topic almost on every single podcast. It's an unstoppable trend, I can see.
Yeah, seemingly so. So walk us through this decision that Mexico has with QR codes.
Yeah, so a Mexican-based business, Cobra Digital National Mobile Payments Platform, that's a mouthful, has announced it's now live across the country, enabling consumers to make NFC and QR code payments. The platform will allow merchants to receive funds instantly with no commission charges to pay. Cody has been developed by Mexico's Central Bank. So obviously Cobra Digital National Mobile Payments Platform, abbreviated to CODI. It was developed by Mexico's Central Bank, Banco de Mexico, and all members of country's interbank electronic payment system with more than 3,000 customer accounts are required to offer the system to their consumers. So it's actually a national initiative that has enabled this QR code and NFC payment, which was pretty cool seeing it on a national level. It's the equivalent of, let's say in the UK, the faster payments or Vocalink launching a QR code initiative, or for example in Europe, the CEB through SEPA. Imagine SEPA had a QR code standard. So SEPA is pretty much a completely standardized framework for payments, for interbank payments, for direct debit, consumer to business payments, etc. within the EU. Now imagine you had a QR code layer attached to that, and now you could integrate this into any point of sale that you like. And essentially that's what they've done in Mexico. So I think this could power a lot of the local e-wallets within Mexico. It's going to be interesting to see how this affects card payments. Obviously, they've launched NFC and QR code. It's going to be interesting to see if consumers go down the contactless NFC route or if they just go straight to an e-wallet app and they prefer to scan QR codes. I guess is what they're trying to test. I would hope they go down the QR code route, get rid of all the plastic in our wallets. But it's one to keep an eye on again. I think I'd love to see this trend continue in other markets.
Kodi is also a instant transfer system, right? So because it says no commission payments are due and funds are transferred instantly from one bank account to another. It's not only a standard for using NFC or QR codes, but it's also a way of making instant payments easily accessible for everybody.
Yeah. And that's the cool thing about it, because it's led by all of the national banks. It's open to everyone. And I mean, they've made the service free for consumers, which is great. Obviously, it needs to be free for consumers. Otherwise, there'd be no uptake. I'd be interested to know what the fees are for merchants and financial institutions. But it's great that it's completely open. Everybody should have access to it. The same way that everybody has access to SEPA in the EU or faster payments here in the UK. It should be a national standard. And I think more countries should be launching these types of initiatives as national standards. I mean, I think my last point on this is, obviously, this is just for the Mexican economy. It's just for Mexico. It's going to be great to see if this influences any initiatives north of the border, up in the US or Canada, or even down in Latin America. I think the Americas are always a little bit behind when it comes to some of this new technology. I mean, we're already seeing in Europe, there's cross-country and cross-wallet QR codes initiatives popping up. And obviously, Mexico is one of the first in the US just to launch a standardized QR code. So it's going to be nice to see where they are in a few years' time and whether they can also create a standardized QR code format so that it would work on a cross-border basis. But I think that's thinking a few years ahead. I'd just like to see this get up and running and being used.
Yeah, it does sound like not a pipe dream, but certainly a couple of years down the line.
Well, I think actually sticking on the standardized, let's say, QR code format, we'll branch a little bit away from QR codes and let's move more into a buzzier topic, which is cryptocurrency. Obviously, as you know, there's been quite a lot of movement recently with Libra.
Yeah, Facebook had the crazy idea that they could create a worldwide common currency with a lot of very high... I don't know, shiny investors, high interest investors like Visa and MasterCard and Stripe, as well as PayPal.
Yeah, I mean, to summarize it, Libra is effectively a network of 20 or 30 or so participants who'd be piggybacking off the Libra network and creating, let's say, e-wallet apps that access the network. And that was their whole initiative to try and get it off the ground. I mean, they had amazing publicity in the beginning. It seemed like with all of the backers that they really did have a decent chance in getting this up and running. However, as time went by, the brand of Facebook seemed to do it no justice, because slowly confidence got chipped away. I think a lot of the negative press around Facebook and their wanting to control the world and now wanting to control their users' financial world, I think was a bit too much for some of the participants. I mean, recently Visa and MasterCard have slowed down their let's say, excitement towards Libra. I think they've slowly backed off, said they're kind of reconsidering their support for Libra. And just last week, they were supposed to have a Libra Association meeting in Washington, D.C., and PayPal got complete cold feet, didn't pitch up to the meeting, and now they've decided to back out of the Libra Association. So I think they're going to start losing a lot of support, especially amongst the big players that really have reputational risk at stake.
And do you think this is mostly an example of a toxic brand bringing down a product?
So, I mean, fundamentally, I think products like this are good. I mean, I wouldn't say I'm a cryptocurrency evangelist, but I think building new, different products helps us take the right step forward. I'm not saying that this type of product is right or the best. But I think initiatives like this are generally good. Whether they take off or not, we should always be trying new things. So I think that's my stance on this. Now, when it comes to Libra in particular, I do think half of their downfall is the fact that they're associated with Facebook. I think if it was PayPal, or if it was Visa or MasterCard, or if it was, I don't know, another fintech that hasn't had so much bad news recently, I think it might have lasted a little bit longer. I think maybe at some stage it might have been taken down, or the regulators might have jumped on top of it. You never know, that it might have, yeah, something like this might just have legs and take over the financial industry. You never know. But the point of it is, I think you have to constantly try.
Yeah, and are there any big next dates or any meetings that we should keep an eye on for Libra?
Not that I'm aware of. I think this, the past week with PayPal dropping out and Visa and MasterCard getting cold feet, I think they're probably just huddling at base and trying to figure out what to do next. So I'm not aware of any next steps or meetings. I'm pretty sure we're going to be hearing about this every week in the news. So when we speak in 2 weeks' time, I'm sure there'll be lots of movement.
Definitely. Okay, so let's tack away from one internet giant and talk about another one. So we were just talking about PayPal and Facebook, and let's talk about a little bit about Amazon and their Whole Foods.
So Amazon have pretty much almost copied exactly what Alipay has started doing in China. So Alipay have launched facial recognition payments. There's a video that's been going around the internet when it first launched of consumer going to a shop, buying a packet of chips and a bottle of water or something, and just scanning their face with a tablet-type device that's on the checkout, and it takes a payment from the consumer's Alipay wallet. Now, Amazon is now letting Whole Foods shoppers pay with a wave in their store. Obviously, it's still in a beta. It's still, I'm assuming it's probably only in one store. Codename Orville, the system will let Amazon Prime customers take a scan of their hand at Whole Foods and then link the data to a credit or debit card, obviously within their Amazon wallet. Customers could then check out by waving their hands past the scanner. I mean, that's crazy. How does it, I mean, I know that there's fingerprint scanners and there's kind of eye-written scanners, but how does waving at a camera pick up, I don't know, your handprints or whatever it is that they use? I'd love to know how it works. It sounds very interesting. And I wonder why they chose a wave rather than a facial recognition. Do you think maybe it's because of, let's say, more paranoia in the West?
I genuinely think it's because people just don't like looking at themselves in the mirror. you also saw this with in Asia as well with Alipay. They actually started creating the facial recognition thing, but also adding like a beauty AR layer to it.
Exactly.
So yeah. You wouldn't actually be looking at yourself. You'd be looking at like an idealized version of yourself. But I think, consumers, especially if they're buying junk food, don't want to make eye contact with themselves. So you can just wave and just walk out. It's a much better process.
Maybe, yeah, could be. But also, I think lastly on the Whole Foods shop of the wave, the cool thing about it is they're integrating it into the Amazon Go stores. So obviously, it'll start off in Whole Foods, but when we're combining the Amazon Go shopping experience with Amazon Wave, there's literally no interaction with anybody in the store. Obviously, you go in there as you pick items off the shelf. Cameras will track exactly what you're picking up, and then instead of having to scan a QR code at the checkout, which is usually what you do at an Amazon Go store, you would now just wave, which is quite cool. I used one of the Amazon Go stores in San Francisco a few months ago, and it works very well.
So it'd did be you very, actually?
Yeah.
What did you end up getting?
To be honest, I think I just got a chocolate and a Coca-Cola and a packet of crisps or something. I mean, to be honest, the only reason I went there was I just wanted to go check it out and test it out. And it worked very well. It billed me correctly. Got a little notification on my phone like 5 minutes later. It worked very well. So seeing this now being launched into Whole Foods will be very cool.
Yeah, very cool. I don't think I've ever talked to anybody who's had the experience of using the staffless Amazon stores, but it sounds like a great process. It's everything that I love about online shopping in the physical world. It's great.
Yeah. I mean, it's a cool, I wouldn't say it's staffless. There's still a lot of people helping people restock the shelves and pretty much train everybody, but it's the first step towards, let's say, a fully automated store. It's quite impressive.
Very cool. Well, James, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you. Pleasure.
And see you in a couple weeks.
Will do. Hope you get better.
Thanks. You too. Thanks for listening to the P-Pro Podcast. If you're enjoying the show, make sure to subscribe on Stitcher, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you hear podcasts, and leave a review. If you'd like to follow PPRO on social media, you can follow them at PPRO_payments. This podcast only sounds good because of Andre Ratke. Thanks again for listening. Until next time.